Hey, we're Ginger and Jeremy Volo. Welcome to the Hope We Hold podcast,
where we have weekly conversations around our family table to share the hope of Jesus. Well, today's episode is going to be a ride. We have a guest with us whose accent is spot on. I mean, smooth, sultry. It's a good accent.
It is pretty good.
It's British. Why do Americans love British accents so much?
I don't know. It's just such an amazing accent. I always feel like that those people, they have so much to say. I just want to listen to everything they have to say. Sophisticated. That's a great word. That's exactly what it is.
They could be reading the phone book.
Yeah.
And it just sounds
so good. Oh, it's
so
true. So true. I agree.
Yeah. So that's Brian. He's a former pro athlete. He's got some sick videos on YouTube. Our guest today is the man, the myth, the legend, Brian Sumner, and his beautiful, lovely wife, Tracy. And we are very excited to have them on.
Yes, super excited for this conversation. Brian is so full of energy, 100 miles per hour, and he really has a passion for Jesus that is contagious. And I remember when he came over to our house after an afternoon of skateboarding, and we had Mediterranean food, and he shared his journey, and we were just floored.
Yeah, Brian and Tracy have had a fascinating journey, and we're glad that they're with us today. And also, we're going to point you in the description the descriptions, I guess, of the various platforms to Brian's podcast, the Foolishness Podcast. Love it. And also a little book that he wrote with Tracy on marriage. And so look for that in the descriptions. But first, before we jump into this conversation, we want to remind all of you to rate and review the podcast. And as always, share your hope stories with us.
Yes, on social media or through email. You can share your hope stories and how your hope in Jesus has transformed your life or gotten you through difficult days. We want to hear them and be encouraged by them. And so we want you to share them. So hashtag our hope story on Twitter or Instagram. And you can also email us contact@hopewehold.com.
Yeah. And we also like to sometimes go through and read the reviews that you guys give and share those here. And so wanted to read a few that were encouraging. LATW11 wrote this about the podcast. She said, "I just stumbled upon this sweet podcast today. As a busy mom of three little ones, these messages are perfect. Easy to follow, great length, so inspiring. My oldest girl, age 8, is absolutely in love with watching and now listening to you as well." That's pretty cool.
That's awesome. That's so sweet.
Yeah, that's fantastic that mom and daughter can listen together and enjoy it.
That's so precious.
Yeah. And C. Bontrager wrote this, "Jeremy and Ginger take on topics that can oftentimes feel heavy on our hearts, but they discuss them and make them relatable without feeling that weight. I feel like there's so much heavy stuff in our world that to be able to talk about real and relevant topics while always bringing them back to Christ and finding the hope in all situations is just lovely." And that's really what our desire is, isn't it?
Yes, most definitely. To share the hope of Christ, even though these topics are difficult, it's not always fun to talk about them, but we must, because like we're all in the same place walking through these difficulties.
Yeah, we don't want to live in a delusion. This world is tough.
It is.
There's a lot of pain. But that's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus, is that in the midst of the pain, there's joy. Yes. In the midst of the trial, there's hope. So we don't have to, cover our eyes, put our fingers in our ears and try to drown out the noise and pretend we're living in some utopian paradise. As Christians, we can face this world. And yet, whenever we talk about it, it's never depressing. It should never be beating us down, because there's always that buoy of hope that Jesus is in our souls. Okay, Cam Nicole Jensen wrote in and gave us this encouragement. She said, "You guys are great. I've loved following your family for years on TLC. Thanks for sharing the only true hope of Christ. To him be all the glory. I wanted to share a really awesome coincidence. My husband's name is Jeremy as well." That's a great name. He's also a pastor. That's a cool profession. And I noticed from one of your social media posts last year that they also share the exact same birthday, September 5th, 1987.
That's insane. Wow, babe.
That's fantastic. I gotta.
That's so cool.
Maybe we're like life twins.
Sounds like it.
Great birthday. And then she says, well, anyways, your podcast is a much needed resource of hope in these dark days. Thank you. Praise Jesus. Man, that's super encouraging that we not only share the same birthday, but we share the same hope.
That's
and the
awesome.
Same name and the same profession.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Thanks
that's
for sharing
awesome.
That.
Thank you. And one final one from Moore Day 3942. Hope. What a great topic during this time of uncertainty in the world. Each episode brings encouragement and joy. So thanks for sharing your lives with us.
Yeah, that's helpful to hear.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much for all of those reviews. We really appreciate them.
Yeah, it's been, you know, it takes work to put on a weekly show, but mm-hmm. we love it. And yeah. When we are able to connect with you guys and see how it's encouraging to you, oh man, it's just so much motivation to keep this going. And so, guys, thanks for those reviews. Those reviews also help others kind of get an idea of the show too. And when they see it, you know, maybe they're not familiar with it. So not only is it encouragement to us, but it's also an encouragement to others who are looking for hope themselves and to find a podcast that they can listen to and be encouraged by. And that's exactly what we think will happen with this conversation today. Brian and Tracy Sumner, they've had a journey. Their marriage hasn't always been this great fairy tale romance. They got divorced. Then they got remarried. Then they had two more children. And they had to navigate some very difficult circumstances of Brian being a pro skater and kind of being in the public spotlight, but also the skater culture that goes along with that. So they've got a fascinating story and one that is centered on and founded in the person of Jesus. And so Ginger and I really love this journey. And one of the facets of this story that we want to encourage all of you is that there's hope in every situation. Their marriage was transformed. So as we talk about Jesus and the hope of Christ that we see in the Bible, this stuff isn't just theory. This isn't just classroom intellectual stuff. This isn't just, you know, principles or whatever. I mean, this when Christ is believed and his word is taken as truth, it's transforming. And we see that transformation in Brian and Tracy's life. So, Brian and Tracy, welcome to the Hope We Hold podcast. We are so excited to have you guys on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Awesome. We're stoked. Yeah.
Brian, it's been really cool getting to know you and being introduced to Tracy. Mm. We want to hear your story and, you know, how you've gone from being a pro skater to an evangelist and... we know, Tracy, that you're a big part of that story, too. So we want to get into all of that. But, Brian, why don't we start with how did we get in touch? How did our relationship begin? Mm. It goes back probably a couple years, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, I'd actually heard about the TV show and all this stuff, though I'm not in the middle of America. You know, people are always saying, hey, have you seen this? Have you seen that? Almost any bit of a Christian whatever is kind of pushed my way by someone. And so sometime after that, I get this photo of this well-dressed man looking very distinguished, one of my skateboards with actually our pug on it. And it was our buddy Jay, I believe, who would actually, he just said, Brian, is there any way I could get a bunch of boards to give out to kids who don't have stuff? And so through a ministry at your guys' church, you'd got a skateboard. We were tagged in that. And then you fast forward, what, a good year or so, and I get a message from you one day, hey, we're doing this show. I'd like to try and get on a skateboard. You know, I know we connected in the past a bit. And then lo and behold, you know, we ended up having a fun day up in L.A. Me and my youngest drove up there, and you got the skills. So, yeah.
Well, I don't know if I have the skills. When I pulled up and saw you skating with Jude and realized Jude was what, 9 years old?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was so Jared so was good. So intimidated. He was like, I don't know about this. And I just kept telling him, come on, babe, we can do this, but just don't break a bone. Yeah. Please don't come home. Exactly. Like, let's not go home with a broken bone.
Yep.
And I accomplished that, didn't I?
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
You know what? You know what's funny, though, is I fell down one time. And we skated for, what, 2.5 hours?
Yeah, I mean, you're, what, six three at least? You're
3.
Wow. 6'3",
yeah. And people that size, they go down hard. So when you know, you said you wanted to skate. And like you said, you really wanted to make sure you could do it. For how long you were on that board, I know you can fall as a goalie and a soccer player, you know, football. But yeah, you did amazing. I mean, you fell down once, and it wasn't that bad of a slam.
But Brian, that one fall, every single preview for the show, for Counting On, where we have has used that fall.
So your favorite.
And I knew they would. I knew they would.
Wow.
Because it's like, man, they got that one. But what was really cool, and this was on the episode as well, which viewers can, you know, our listeners can tune into.
Yeah.
Was we had the opportunity to kind of talk about our journey of faith and kind of we had a bit of a similar journey where, you know, we were in a professional sport and the Lord really got a hold of us and now we're in ministry. And so why don't we start there? We want to hear a little bit about who you guys are. We want to get into your marriage because I know there's an amazing story there. But
yeah,
Bri, let's just talk about the skateboarding for a minute. What's that journey been like? You're obviously not from America.
Yeah.
You know, you talk funny and what's your journey? Talk to us a little bit.
Well, first of all, for anyone even just tuning in, I don't know that I've ever met someone where when we started talking, I mean, of course we all connect as believers, be that's in an airport, you know, at the hot dog stand, wherever. But the way you felt this conviction from the Lord was identical to what I would later feel. And, you know, looking back now, but for me, I just, grew up in Liverpool, England, home of the Beatles. I'd watched a movie.
Please. Congratulations on Liverpool winning the Premier League.
I know, right? And I joked with you.
It's been 30 years.
Yeah, we finally made it. You know, we made the big time, I guess. So, no, but you know, I grew up playing soccer. And I always joke with Americans, you know, they call it soccer, but it's football. It's a foot and it's a ball. There's nothing, you know, that other thing they call it. You just got to get convicted with that. But I grew up playing football. I never really knew what skateboarding was. And then about the age of 13, I'd watch Police Academy 4, very American film. This is the time of WWF and The Simpsons, you know, Married with Children. I was looking at America like this place just is like a dream. How am I ever going to live there? And through watching Police Academy 4, they had skateboarding on. I was literally on vacation in New Jersey a few weeks later. And my sisters had moved there to nanny. You know, English ladies were very popular to be there and work for these wealthy families. I'm over there in America and buy my first skateboard at 13. I literally, just like you were with football, I became obsessed and went back to Liverpool, skated for a good 2 years. Got really good, apparently, because one of my local hometown heroes, Jeff Rowley, you know, was one of the most famous skaters ever. Invited me to be kind of part of a team. He was on, you know, Tony Hawk's Company, various things. And so long story short, there's a, you know, buck-toothed kid from Liverpool. I played football, but I didn't really care about it. I'm skateboarding in America at 15, 16, over in California. And the world was just about to open up. And I guess to say, you know, for my wife, she was born and raised here. So, we're about to cross paths within just a few years, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah. So if we want to get into that. So yeah. Tracy, how did you come into Brian's life and tell us how you guys fell in love? And I mean, was it the accent? Is that what attracted you to him?
You know, it's funny. He first came here at 15 and he was staying with my friend, Jeff, who my best friend was dating. And so I actually met Brian when he was about 15 years old. And like he said, he had buck tooth braces, blonde hair, bowl cut. And my friends were trying to actually set me up with him, and I'm 2 years older than him. So at that time, you know, being 17 and 15, he still seemed like, and he really did look like a little kid. I was like, no way. He looks like he's like 10. And so, you know, it's funny how even then our friends were trying to bring us together. I should say God, like God obviously had the plan. We just weren't in relationship yet with him, or, you know, so for us, yeah, it was, we had no idea. He was actually dating a friend of mine. So he doesn't like
well,
me to
she
say
would
that,
drive a friend over to try and hang out with me.
Yeah, we were always dropping another friend of mine.
And we weren't believers, by the way, guys. So
No, I wasn't.
Scandalous. This is scandalous.
Yeah, absolutely scandalous. And so it wasn't until a few years later, I worked at our local health food store here called Mother's. And so Brian would just always come in with his friends. And I think it just, you were about 18 by then.
Well, when she first, and she's not joking, guys. I mean, Jeremy, I'll send you funny photos, but I have like, you know, shaved head, braces, just like spotty kid. And she's already a woman. And she had a boyfriend over in New Jersey. I mean, she moved away for a good few years.
Yeah.
And so we'd seen each other. But when she would come back, we kind of connected because she'd be off and on with this guy. And then there was
When I lived, because I used to live in New Jersey. And even in New Jersey, you know, I had a friend who was a skater. And he would get all the magazines. And then I'd see Brian in them. I'd be like, oh, my gosh, this is so funny. Or he'd put on a new skate video. And Brian would be in the video. And there was just always this connection that my friend would always elbow me anytime Brian, like, would come on the screen. And I was like, oh, my gosh, stop it. And so, and it was just, I don't know, it was like this, we were being drawn together.
And maybe it was the accent. Mm-hmm. I mean,
maybe
you know,
it was. I don't know.
But the thing is, she does not care about skating one bit.
No, I didn't understand it, to be honest.
She was about music, you know, and kind of this culture out there, and she was her food, and she was just enjoying her own little realm, and here's this kid, so why would we connect?
Yeah, absolutely. My mom saw a picture of him when we were first, like our first time hanging out. She was like, oh my gosh, this is like no one you would ever hang out with.
Yeah.
You know, he just didn't look like my typical boyfriend.
But Brian, at this time, you're now established here and your skating's taking off.
Yeah, I mean, to help anyone understand what that means, you know, people say, how can you become a pro skater? You get here at 15, 16. I finished school when I was 15, 16 there. In England, you finish earlier. Went to art school, get invited by these sponsors to come over here. And now you're an amateur and you're making, you know, a couple of $100 a month, which might not seem like anything. But when they're paying for your apartment, paying for your vehicles, you're just eating like whatever, you know, all you want to do is skate. That now blows up.
You didn't become pro though until we were finally
together. And that's what I'm saying. So it was like, that was kind of my life. I would see her on and off. Then as we're about 17, 18, we really begin to notice each other. I turned professional soon after we started courting. I mean, dating at the time, obviously. We weren't believers. And now you're making, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 or $30,000 a month, which is crazy. Because your skateboards are selling around the world, you have a pro shoe, and that was just our life. So, you know, the funny thing for you guys is that, you know, we were literally together for 4 months, and I was about to go back to England, and we just couldn't even bear, even when we go share on this a lot, we couldn't bear to be apart for like a night. If I had to go away for a weekend, it was so hard for us, it was just all in. And so within 4 months of being together, and we didn't tell our families. We told two of our friends, Jeff Rowley and you know, his girlfriend at the time, Chrissy. And I said, will you marry me? She said, yes. I didn't even drive yet. She drove me out to Vegas the next day on the wrong side of the road. And we got married and didn't tell anyone. And then, you know, 2 months later or so, you know, she's pregnant. And her Catholic family's like, well, you should have got married. And then we told them, well, we lied to you all and we did get married and they were all happy. So it's crazy. You know, where do you want to go?
Okay, so congratulations. You got married quicker than we did.
Oh, yeah, 4 months.
I mean, my goodness.
Yeah, 4 months.
4 months.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
And I was 19.
So, Tracy, how were you? Yeah, how are you dealing with this guy who's – so I've got to confess, in high school
–
I was familiar with that skate scene,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bri, that you were in with the guys like Bam Margera.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk. I actually met Bam Margera. He's from the town
Westchester,
next to where I grew up. Yeah, Westchester. And I remember pulling up to a driving range, and he's there with his red Ferrari and hitting some balls. And I took a picture with him with my my buddy Pat. And
that's funny.
And so we watched all the shows and everything. And that was kind of your world, which was, you know, that's a fast-paced world.
Yeah.
And Tracy, you're stepping into that.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what was that relationship like, you know, your first few months of marriage? And talk to us. I mean, you're a young couple just married.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So skateboarding for me, I was like, even when my family would say, well, how are you guys going to, you know, take care of each other or whatever? I'd be like, oh, he's a skateboarder. And be like, wait, what? He's going to provide through skateboarding, you know, so they didn't even understand it as well. And so for me, every time we would go somewhere, Brian was being asked, can I take a picture with you? Can I have an autograph? You know, so it became very like, oh, wow. Okay. This is something people really care about. And then obviously the sponsors came in and we were like, okay, this is a way we can provide for our future. But for sure it was something that was,
but we were very devoted. It wasn't like out, you know, like you talk about Bam and that. I mean, they kind of, you know, Bam had a very sweet heart and his friends were very loving and gentle. It was kind of like a machine, where for us, it was like me and Trey. We were together. So we would go to an event. We would go to a premiere. We had everything together. And even when we had our son, we were always together. And one of the interesting things that Trey shares on was that when she wasn't a believer, you know, she lived with her boyfriend for so long, her family like really didn't care. And for us, this was all new to us. And the sad thing was that we really wanted that to work. I mean, we loved each other. We thought this would be happily ever after. And we gave everything to do it the right way. And even after two or so years, you know, obviously the fighting and that, it shows up quick, but that's when things just changed gears.
But I would say it was a very exciting lifestyle, I guess, because we got to tour a lot. He was on the Tony Hawk, the gigantic skate park tours.
Yeah.
And basically all hotels were paid for, your food, and it was fun, you know. And, we'd bring Dakota. He was only like 16 months then.
Yeah.
And everyone loved him, you know, like there was tons of skateboarders on that tour who would be like, can I hold Dakota? You know, and they'd walk around with him and put him on their skateboard. And so it was fun. Like they became like your family, these skateboarders who they're like legends to everyone. But to us, they were just, you know, regular guys who are just trying to make a living.
And I didn't have a red Ferrari, though.
We were very humble
and we just, I feel like we're almost like you guys. We were like homebodies. Like we would rather just be home with the kids and hanging out. But we were just doing that because that was my career, you know?
Yeah, I don't think like when you were making the most money, like it didn't even faze us at that point of, we were just saving. Like we knew we wanted to get a home or whatever it was. But
it was just because you're talking about our relationship, it was just what you would expect a marriage to be. We were trying to do it the world's way, but we had no idea about the Lord. So,
So I want to ask you about that. So when did you guys come to know Jesus? Was it in the middle of all of that was going on Brian, your career taking off and you guys traveling a lot? How did you come to know Christ?
Well, basically, and I'll launch into Trey with some thoughts even. So we're married, we're in love, it's awesome. You know, you're spending every second with this person. And then 6 months, 8 months, a year in, you start realizing, okay, we're fighting, there's issues, there's struggles. And like I said, happily ever after. And now within a year or two, we're really fighting and we're starting to say, well, maybe we got married too young. Maybe you're the wrong person. We're just throwing each other under the bus. Before long, we're talking about divorce. And you got to realize, you know, Tracy had pretty much been raised in Huntington and had this just super normal life, high school, done whatever. She just, you know, likes her raw foods kind of thing and her music. I've just wanted to skate. And it's all been what we've wanted. Everything's been yes, you know. And now we're fighting. There's no compromise. You don't know what it means to serve each other. And we weren't being crazy. We just couldn't get along. And the way the world tells you, well, is if you don't like something, just get on with it. And so within two or so years, we're fighting. And I'm punching holes in the wall, getting mad, just slamming doors. We're calling each other everything. And so within that time frame, we end up getting divorced. We're separated. And now I'm just like, you know, what the blah, 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 you know, all the English words coming out. And I'm just like, remember looking up and saying, God, whoever you are, I'm going to prove you're not real. And you know what? If you're not real, who cares if I'm alive? And so I went down this journey to try and disprove there was a God, which was really the Lord leading me. While my wife at the time, we would just be on and off. I was living in an apartment and we were trying to navigate a relationship. We loved each other, but we'd hate each other. We'd fight, we'd try and do whatever. So how was it for you, babe?
Yeah, that was a really crazy time because we had our friends telling us that, you guys are still so young. You still can go meet someone else, you know? And so we didn't have people fighting for us or telling us a truth of, you know, there's something bigger than what God's called us to, and you know, that we can get through this. We were just told, you know, no, move on.
He's the wrong person. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I come from a divorced home. So to me, it was just very normal, even though that's not what I wanted for Dakota. We only had one kid at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was like, I was more fighting for it. I was like, no, I don't want to get divorced. I really want to fight for this. And I think for Brian, he just was being fed so many lies by people in his industry because he was at the prime of his skateboarding and he was making lots of money. And people were like, no, you need a divorce now before, you know, you go into this new sponsorship. And so for Brian, I know he was being fed a lot of lies. And that's when it came to him wanting a divorce. And, but even after the divorce, he had said, you know, I was like, well, what does this mean? He's like, well, you know, I still want to try and make it work. I just don't want to be labeled married right now. And then maybe we can make it work later on. And so we tried to make it work, but you know.
And that was a cry for help too, because I'm in America going, I have all these skateboards I'm making. And listen, you know this, Jeremy, like, it isn't like when people are getting photographs. I'm talking about the soccer side of it. You're thankful that you made it in an industry you care about. But skating is very humble. You're falling on your face every day. It's hard work. It isn't like you're walking out on a cloud. You're thankful for what you've accomplished and the people appreciate it. But there's not like a fame, like maybe even for you guys with the show, which is like, oh, there's those people. You know what I mean? So for me, it was more, I just want to know what's going on with life. How can I come over here? How can I honestly love this woman? I have this kid, and wait a minute, I'm divorced? I mean, this was a truth issue. So I begin, you know, I get into a couple of fights. I get community service. The community service is in a Christian thrift store. I'm trying to disprove all these religions, Buddhism, Hinduism, everything. And here's what's crazy for you guys and the listeners, even for Tracy, you know, who's Native and Italian and Mexican, and we'd never even read the Bible.
So what made you pick up the Bible?
Well, here's the crazy thing, and we can start even segue into how good God is, but in that time of community service, you know, I got into a fight, I punched a windshield in, and I got into 8 fights in a month that other people started, and so, which is crazy, you know, because I joke, but everyone in England, whether it's the Queen or Mary Poppins, they're all soccer hooligans, you know, so I'm in trouble. I'm getting in the fight. I mean, it's all, you know what it's like, Jeremy. I mean, football players ready to go. So I'm buying my first house, but I'd rented an apartment, you know, with a bunch of friends down here. Me and Trey are still separated. And it was actually the house we're in now, which is down the street from her mom. And my thought was, hey, I just want to try and make this work. So if I really find there is no God, I can disprove him. At least my 5-year-old son will know that, you know, that we made the effort. He's seen his parents. He has some idea that we love him. And that's how sad, you know, it can be for a man when he feels like everything's lost because he really wanted these things with integrity. So as I'm looking at all these faiths and seeing that Buddha was a guy who left his own family, meditated, seeing that there's 300 million gods, seeing how, you know, the Bible went down the Nile and becomes the Pibli, and that's where you get the Rastafari idea. Literally, I opened up the Bible, and I remember this is funny. I remember sitting in the bath, opening up the Bible, saying, I'm going to read it. And the first word I read was tabernacle. So what do you think that word is? Tabernacle. I opened the Bible and said, what's a tabernacle? And I never opened it again for a while. But I began to, you know, here's an amazing thing. I walked into the Christian thrift store. I saw The Light was playing by Hank Williams. The guy in charge of the Christian thrift store that I have community service hands me the case for Christ. and says, hey, if you read this, I'll give you extra credits. Hey, if you come to the church and listen to the sermons and make the hot dogs, which I couldn't even make hot dogs. All I could do was skate. Hey, I'll give you extra credits. But what it was when I opened up Genesis 1 and God says, let us make man in our image. You guys got to realize, as an English person, you are bred just believing in evolution. Charlie Darwin's on the money. That verse to me was like, wait a minute. You're saying I was made in your image. If I was made in your image, God, why is my life stuck? Why is it upside down? Why are we fighting? Why am I? Because obviously I didn't want to be divorced. I wanted it perfect. You know what I mean? So that led me through the path of the Bible. And long story short, you know, Tracy, I mean, if you tell them your more Italian Catholic family was like, well, Brian's evil. He's probably going to hell with Hitler. You know, he's probably going to hell with Hitler. I mean, how is that, you know?
Well, I think they just saw a side of Brian because, you know, being from Liverpool, he is always ready for a fight. So they saw an aggressive side. And for them, they were just, you know, they were just worried for me. And so, like he had said, he was doing anger management and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And then nothing was changing. But once he started doing this community service and and he was, I don't know, there was just really a change going on, a change that was very obvious and evident, like in his demeanor, in his facial expressions, everything. It was like God was really softening him and changing his heart. And so for me, when he was first coming to faith, I would see him start to be reading the Bible. And I was just like, what is going on with you? And, you know, for me, like he had said, I wasn't raised, I would say, in a Catholic home, but my grandparents were the ones who took me to church. And up until I was about 14. And but for me, faith was very like kind of shut me out in a way because I didn't go through catechism. So I was never allowed to receive the communion.
Yeah.
So everyone would go down to the front and I was always sitting in my seat. So I felt very shut out. So to me, I felt like I couldn't have a relationship with Jesus because of that. And I was like, man, I didn't do the classes. And so for me, I just, you know, I kind of pushed away from it. Okay. And so once I saw him starting to study and change, I was like, wow, this is interesting. Like, this is something that is really helping and taking effect. And so I became more interested in it and started going to church with him.
And I wasn't a believer yet. I was still
trying to figure it out.
The amazing thing, you guys, I'm sure you've already got questions ready, but it took me 7 months to really try and analyze and break down. I mean, I read the Old Testament in Hebrew. You know, like I was digging into the Hebrew language. And before I was even a believer, I walked through a park one time and said, well, God, I need a Bible that I can write in. And I'm not kidding you. On the table in front of me was a giant yellow Bible wrapped in film sitting right in front of me right then. And I picked it up, took it home, and just began to write in pink everywhere. How is man 900 years of age? Where are the dinosaurs? Where are the unicorns? I read the whole of the Bible to disprove it. And here's what's amazing, Jeremy, was that I'm reading saying, well, man sinned in the garden. They're kicked out. And here's this sin. Here's the curse, you know, the serpent and the man and the woman. But seeing God beginning to reveal himself to men throughout history, then you get to the New Testament. Listen, me and Tracy were vegans at the time. She still is. Picture reading the Old Testament as a vegan, right? Do you know how barbaric that is? Like every year you rip the lamb to bits, you shed the blood. I mean, it's crazy. I was reading all this stuff. She's beginning to see a change in me, but who I didn't know yet was Jesus. So finally, 7 months in, I get to the New Testament, you know, and here comes this, behold, the Lamb of God. Oh, wait a minute. This is the foreshadow of every yearly sacrifice. That's him. Here's the scapegoat. Here's the blood that was shed abroad. So I knew all about God. I'd read all these books. I had the History Channel DVDs. I mean, it was crazy. But I still didn't know God. And this is the part where you could say my religious wife, she wasn't, but she just only knew it as a religion. And I came home one day and literally we got in a huge fight. And I'd heard so much preaching. And in the other end of our house, you know, when you guys come over here one day, we'll cook up a great meal. My wife will, but you'll see the room. I went into that room at 12 at night and I said, God, I am over this. I remember looking up and saying Yahweh, you know, the Tetragrammaton, just so God knew I was talking to him. And I said, I'm fighting with this woman. I'm done with this life. I don't care. And I listed all these things to God. And it was literally like God just laid on my heart, you've been coming to me to fix your life, but the issue is sin. And it was like, I knew this. I'd heard Matthew 7:21. I'd heard Galatians. I knew the verses. I probably could have witnessed to someone on the street. I'd heard John MacArthur even. I mean, how about that? So All of this hits me in that room. And I realized, wait a minute, there's this chasm. And in that moment, it was like, Lord, and you know, we could talk about theology, but it was like, Lord, I'm giving you my life. I'm giving you my skating. I'll get and I remember saying, I'll get baptized. And God, I'll even get remarried. If you want this, I was literally, we fought like crazy that day when I came home from community service. And here's what's going to challenge people. It was like the presence of the Lord entered that room in whatever way we could say to a human. You know, I'm not saying I was in the cleft of a rock and it was the Pentecost room, but I knew that right then approaching me, arriving in me, was this just like moment of like, okay, there was nothing crazy other than I knew I was a sinner. I knew I had to repent. And I knew that this presence had taken hold of me. And so I lay on the bed laughing and crying, saying, I can't believe this is real. Why didn't no one tell me this? What about my sisters? What about my family? And the amazing thing was that went on for 40 minutes. And as I came into our bedroom where we're laying on the bed right now, my wife's sitting here, I'm sitting on the other side. She literally sits up like a zombie and repeats pretty much everything I've been saying in that room for like an hour. She says all the stuff with her eyes closed for like 10 minutes. And I'm like, okay, we're going to serve the Lord, blah, blah, blah. And then I wake up the next day and you don't remember saying anything, right? You don't remember any. Yeah, so she's like, you're crazy. You're not even a Catholic. You're not baptized. You don't go to church, you know? And so I began to just live. And in 3 weeks' time, she had this crazy experience at our church at the time. You came to faith, right? And then, yeah. And then where do you want to go? I mean, then 3 months later, we're remarried. And it's 21 years coming up in December. So praise God.
Wow.
So... yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. it really is a phenomenal story. And so, Tracy, it was soon after that that you, would you say that you encountered Christ for yourself?
I did, yeah. So for me, like I said, I just began to see these changes. And for me, I feel like God was just beginning like to soften my heart as well towards it. And so coming to faith, we came to a Pentecostal church because of another skateboarder that was going there that had invited Brian. And so he was, you know, that was our first experience with church. So for me, it was a little bit,
it was almost word of faith as well. You guys. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what to say about it, but it was like, I don't know. I was a bit weary of it, I guess you could say. I was
she's conservative,
Jeremy. Okay, yeah, I'm way more conservative. And so, but I was like, you know what, this is where he wants to go now, so I'm just going to go with it with him and go. So actually our pastor had been away, and our pastor at the time had been away, and he had a guest speaker in, and it was this very, very sweet man. And he was, what was he?
He was the head of Teen Challenge out here, or one of those ministries, yeah. Ron Brown.
Yeah.
And he would preach and he would sing, and he was just very genuine.
He's very, very genuine.
And she went to church with an agenda that day.
Well, I wasn't sure. Like, I was just like, God, like, I want you to just, I know I was praying so much. I was like, God, I just want you to do something in my life. I want something to change. I want this marriage to work. Like, I don't want what, you know, the relationship my parents had. And so for me, I went in, with kind of high expectations that day, I think. But also for me, like Brian said, I'm very conservative, and this church is the absolute opposite, where, you know, people are jumping and yelling.
There's no snakes or nothing like that. I'm not thinking poison. But no. She went in saying,
so,
Lord.
But yeah, like today is the day, like I just knew something was going to happen. And so, but at our church, there's like an altar call. So our church at the time. So there's an altar call. And then you have, there's like this, I remember, because it was like every time you have to raise your hand and you go down to the front and then you have to go into this other room. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm never doing that. That is just not for, like, in my heart, I was like, God, you know, my heart, like, this isn't me. Like, I just want to be saved right here and now. Like, why do I have to go down there and to confess you?
And she knew the gospel. We were talking about sin and death and resurrection. She wasn't just scrolling.
But then it's like,
in.
If you deny me, you know, I'll deny you. And I was like, am I denying you by not going down there? So anyway, I'm just having like major battles in my head. I remember in the service as he's about to give the altar call. And so he gives the altar call and I'm like, oh no, I can't. I can't do it. I can't. It's just not possible. So I didn't go down. And so I just sat there. And the service was over, and Brian Newt was very friendly with everyone. So I stayed in my seat because I didn't know anybody at the time. And so I just sat there, and a girl came up to me, and she says, hey, what is your name? And I said, Tracy. She's like, okay, the pastor just asked if I knew you. And I was like, oh, okay. And she's like, and he wanted to see if you would go down and speak with him. I said, oh my gosh.
And he's a guest speaker. He doesn't know me from Tom.
No, we've never met
him. He's never been there, yeah.
So anyway, so I was like, okay. And I'm looking for Brian everywhere because I'm like, he did this. He went and talked to the pastor and, you know, told
him.
It's
a cult, right? So yeah, he rigged it.
I'm like, something's going on here. And so anyway, I go down there. I can't find Brian anywhere. I'm shaking. And he's like, I just remember he was just so, so sweet. And he's like, hi, honey. He's like, what's your name? And he asked me. So I tell him and he's like, I was wondering if you've ever given your life to Jesus. And I was like, no, I haven't. And he's like, well, guess what? Today, you're going to give your life to Jesus. And I was like, oh, okay. And so right then and there, he prayed with me. And I just right there knew that my heart was, you know, wicked and evil, and it was, I could do nothing without him.
Man, that progressed fast. Hear that? Mm. It's wicked and evil.
Well, yeah. It was. Yeah.
But you know the amazing thing
do?
Was yeah. that she actually heard that song, I Can Only Imagine.
Oh, yeah.
And that song, like, broke her.
That's true.
Because she would fly home from New Jersey holding, like, you know, beads and stuff, rosaries. And she was like, you know, what am I doing? And that song, she was like, Lord, what can I imagine when I die? And so it was almost like
that
day
would always make me cry. And I was just like, God, like I just want to know what it's going to be like. I just want to stand before you one day. And everything I'd read, I was like, man, I am definitely not going to stand before you. And so I knew I needed Jesus. And so, yeah, it was this.
So good.
Yeah, it was definitely a beautiful thing.
So that led to our being remarried and, you know, you guys know, I mean, our son's oldest is 19, Eden's 13, Jude's 10. And when here's the amazing thing. When you go to a school or a university and you share this, and then you have, like, your three kids with you and they come on stage with you, it's a very different witness to make them realize, you know, this kid's parents are remarried because of Jesus. And these two kids wouldn't exist. They wouldn't be ours. They'd be someone else's. But the sovereignty of God means they exist because of Jesus. So that's the powerful, beautiful witness, you know? So,
Yeah. So along that line, though, I mean, have you guys found yourselves being able to minister to people with difficult marriages right now? And what would you say to the people who are currently where you were?
Yeah.
Well,
probably.
For us, I know that, yeah, we've counseled a lot of people. And, for me, I know that I was looking to change Brian in a lot of ways because of his, he had a more aggressive nature. And I remember someone had given me the power of a praying wife. And I realized I was so busy praying for him that I realized I needed God to change my heart towards Brian. And that this is who God made him. He's from Liverpool. He grew up in a very, an aggressive sort of, you know,
neighborhood.
Yeah. So fighting was just always part of his nature. So I'm just like, but God was going to use that and use his platform. And so I just had to have God humble me, and that way I could pray for him differently. And also know that just because you come to faith doesn't mean everything's going to be perfect. So now that we know we have like this rock, you know, now we have something that we know he's called us to. This is who he has for me and likewise for Brian. So it's what we fight for. So we're, not all days are good, right? But we know that,
that's really excellent. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of where we go with our ministry with that.
Yeah, and it was very practical, you know, Ginger, to answer the even question. Like, you picture if you knew us back then and you weren't believers, and now you see us hanging out again and you see us having more kids. People just began to ask us about our marriage, and we joke about it when we share on this, preach on it even. I do a lot of conferences, but, you know, we wrote the book on how not to be married, but God wrote the book on how to be, you know, on how to actually be married. And so we began having just to tell people. We had to read the Bible ourselves. We listened to every kind of sermon and book, and we didn't realize it, but we were almost,
we did a lot of studies
yeah, every night. So before, and here's the sad thing that you guys will know, a lot of times it's me sitting with a pastor's kid or their grandfather was a pastor, and how many couples are like, we feel like God's released us from this marriage or letting go or this. And I always go, you know, I'm a word guy like you guys. I just go back to what the Bible says, that God brings together, let no man separate. No, 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 we know that. And then you say it three or four times and you go, look, guys, our marriage can't fail, not only because love never fails, but because if we're really both about Christ, even if someone does something crazy, the grace and mercy is there. So, you know, I put that book out, Never Fails, a 30-day devotion, because I had a lot of friends who were just, there was affairs, there was craziness, there was chaos. And I was like, Lord, I just need to give someone something they could jump into for 30 days. And it was kind of a story of how we missed it. A lot of theology, but we believed. And here's just to encourage people. We learned that people will put hours and hours into their stocks, into their soccer, into their skateboarding, into their fashion, their body. But most don't even put 15 minutes a day into themselves. And just off you guys doing the podcast together, just off me and Tracy sitting here, if couples just did that for 15 to 30 minutes a day, I mean, what's a relationship? It's relating. That's how we met. That's why we fell in love. The world comes in, you start relating. It's only negative. So that was the heart of even that little book, was just, how do I get couples to start relating every night for 30 days? Because 7 days, your habits change. 14 days, 21 days, you're good. So to answer the question, that's been a big part of what we've been doing. A lot of Starbucks sessions for hours with weeping couples and all the rest of it. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's, guys, that is so good. Thank you for sharing that. And for our listeners, we will put a link to that 30-day devotional in the description, wherever you're listening to this podcast. And Brian and Tracy, I just love hearing your story. Brian, it's, you know, you were at a point, you were living the dream, you know, you were doing what children, you know, all around the world look up to. They want to be a professional athlete. They want to be signing autographs, have their own deals. And here you guys are, a young couple. And this is the story, isn't it? That amidst all of it, there was an emptiness and there was this void, and all of the things that tell us in this world that they will satisfy, they don't actually satisfy. And to hear your story about how you both encountered Jesus Christ, almost, I mean, sort of together, but you had to meet him individually. And how that encounter, where you both met Christ, brought you back together, and to see where you are today, speaking, you know, at different churches and events and having a platform, and you've got a beautiful family, and Dakota just got engaged, right?
Yes,
to an amazing,
and
an amazing girl. Her dad's an elder at church. I normally do jujitsu with them. They went on mission trips with me for like the last 3 years, and they're about to be 20, you know, in a few months, and they're believers. Wow. So it's amazing.
Another stage of life you're entering, and yet. It's this joy and this hope that you guys hold in Christ that just exudes from your story is the beautiful hope that you have in Jesus. And it's really a hope that's been displayed because I mean, look at you guys, like from where you were to where you are, it's beautiful.
Yeah, and you know, so I just encourage you too,
yeah, go ahead.
Is that, you know, Trey alluded, it's not like every day is perfect, you know, for those who are like, oh, they're just all Christians, like we homeschool, we have a crazy schedule, Tracy's mom's going through stuff, so much stuff, but the big lesson for people is, we joke about our book, we're going to call it Death by Marriage, you know, and people laugh. But Christianity, to those who are listening, it's less of me, more of him. I must decrease, he must increase. So when we realized that Brian's not the center, Tracy's not the center, Jeremy or Ginger aren't, you know, the Bible says godly contentment is great gain. How is God going to shape me and you, Jeremy, and your wife and my wife? How does he grow us? By putting us together. Sometimes our sin comes out. Sometimes we're humbled. Sometimes we get better at serving. Pride's got to be put away with. But marriage is this gift from God that now shapes us all the more into his image. And if that's your goal, regardless what happens, it's just like skating or soccer. You progress, you get better, and it's more about pointing to Christ. So that's got to be the model for the Christian family. Otherwise, we're always going to be the center. The grass is always going to be greener. And it's... I mean, that's what Genesis was, grabbing for the tree. That's what Satan tempted Jesus with in the wilderness. He's just offering us more things. And God's like, no, guys, the only thing that's not good for you, Brian, is when you're alone. So I brought you Tracy. Jeremy, I brought you Ginger. And more women need to realize what a powerful thing it is to be a woman of God and live out your call, you know. So,
Well. Thank you guys so much, Brian and Tracy. It's just been such a joy to hear about your journey and how the Lord has led you guys together and just the impact that you're having for him. So thank you for being willing to come on the podcast and to share the hope of Christ with our listeners.
Thank you
Amen.
So much.
Thanks for having us.
And to all our listeners, there are a few resources we'll want you guys to check out. We have that devotional written by the Sumners. Brian also has a podcast, the Foolishness Podcast, which I've been on. It's a great podcast. He interviews different Christians around the world in different spheres of influence. And so check that out, Foolishness Podcast. We'll have a link to it in the description. And like we said at the start, guys, if you would rate and review the podcast, send us your thoughts and suggestions at contact@hopewehold.com. And thanks for sitting with us today on the Hope We Hold podcast. We trust that you were encouraged.
And it is our hope that your hope would be in Christ alone.